All right. Well, I will say this. It's funny. I don't know which one I like best. When I get the text from John, like the morning of, and I have like 20 or 30 minutes, or I get it the night before, right? So I really don't have any excuse, you know, with having the night before, but I think sometimes I do a little better under pressure. But I was wanting to kind of go and discuss about Peter this morning, and I kind of wanted to look at all the different Gospels, and specifically since we're, you know, I wasn't here last week, but I kind of wanted to do it, you know, if I had a chance. You know, last week probably would have been better, you know, being right, you know, after Easter or what have you. But I kind of wanted to get on the touch on the point of Peter's denial, but I also wanted to kind of go back and when Peter was called as a disciple, when Peter had, you know, stepped out and walked on water, when Peter had cut the soldier's ear off, you know, different things like that as well, and discuss that and look at the different gospels and talk a little bit about, you know, some of those courageous moments, but then some of those moments where fear kind of crept in, you know, and how maybe, you know, I know I can definitely relate, you know, but kind of maybe we can self-reflect and see if we can relate ourselves as well. So I want to ask if you all would help me, right, or whatever. So I don't want to be Ben Stiles up here and be like, anyone, Bueller, you know, or whatever, and you all are just like quiet. So please, this is a participation thing, so if I ask someone to read, please that volunteer, or else I guess I will call.
You just cooperate.
I'll volunteer, right? It's either volunteer or get voluntold, so you know. So anyway, so now that I kind of gave you a brief synopsis of what we're going into, let's open up our Bibles. And if one of you all would mind turning to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll go over verses 18 and 20. And then if another person at the same time, if you don't mind, could turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And both of these are when Peter was called as a disciple. So they're kind of the same thing. It's just Matthew telling it versus Luke telling it. So that's all it is. So
I've got Luke 5.
You got Luke 5? Okay, so you got Luke 5. It's 1 through 11, Joy. And who's got Matthew 4 for me, 18 to 20?
I do.
Okay. Sue, do you want to start out?
Sure. 18 through 20, that's it?
Yeah, 18 through 20.
While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him.
Okay, or do you want to go ahead and read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11?
As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Genesaret.
Junaluska.
I
will tell you this, do not feel bad, because as you know, I have been made fun of most often.
He was standing by Lake Junaluska and saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets." When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him.
So, I mean, on that, on those two, thank you, Sue. Thank you, Joy. Really appreciate it. Because I don't want to be talking the entire time, so I'm glad you all both are volunteering, and please, others volunteer as well. But, you know, with Peter here, we see his acts of faith, right, in these verses. We see his obedience, you know. But the one thing I kind of want to point out in here is kind of, I feel this is even an act of courage as well. And the reason that I will say that is, you know, Peter was a fisherman. He's fishing, right? And so he had a livelihood or what have you. And in obedience, right, and out of faith, he basically got up and, you know, Christ said, hey, I'm making you fisher of men, you know, or what have you. And, you know, a lot of people would let fear creep in and go, well, what am I going to do to pay my bills? What am I going to do to get food? What am I going to do this or whatever? But he had the courage, or the faith, and it'll be, you know, as well, the courage to do that, you know. And I guess wanted to point that out. And if anyone else has anything else to add or say, you know, before we continue on.
Well, I think in Matthew's account, he immediately.
Yeah.
Is where, you know, like there was no thinking about
no,
it.
No.
He said, do it, and
he
did.
And he did right away. Exactly. And in Luke, I mean, I like when was told to cast, was it on the right side? I can't remember now or whatever the boat. But anyway, and you know, God had the fish or what have you. And I mean, just the obedience there, just really.
Well, and the trust too. It's like
the trust.
I've been doing this all night and caught nothing. But right. Okay.
Well, and then the humility and that he had too. I think in the account of Luke of, you know, gosh, I'm not even worthy, you know, or what have you type thing, and just being very humble I really think that was really.
There's about a 90. I don't know what. Jared's preaching today, but I told him where we were in the book of Mark if he wanted to continue. Mm-hmm. And if he goes with that, he will be preaching Jesus calling the disciples from Mark
today. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, good. And I didn't even know that. So they
I don't know if he'll preach up there.
All right. So let's, if someone wouldn't mind, let's go to Matthew chapter 14. And if you could read verses 25 to 33. Now, I really like this verse because, you know, it shows Peter's courage, but it also shows his fear. A little bit of both, you know. So, anyone?
Uh-huh. You said 25 to 33?
Yes, 25 to 33.
Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking out on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God.
So, I mean, again, here you have, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, because we talk about Peter walking on water, but keep in mind, this wasn't like a lake that was like glass, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. So the water was just like glass, smooth or whatever. And it, I mean, that would be fearful enough, especially if you couldn't swim. I'm not saying Peter couldn't swim, but I mean, step out of a boat and walk just on glass, you know, water, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, that's just smooth. But I mean, this is a bad storm. You know, these are roll waves and things like that. And I mean, even if, I'm sure if you're an Olympic swimmer, you know, would have struggle or would have trouble, you know, swimming in that type of water, much less, of course, walking on the water. And, you know, Peter had the courage, you know, first to be able to even do that, you know, hey, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out and, you know, I'll walk out on water here. But it's funny how, you know, what did he do? Look down. He's like, wait, what am I doing? And he starts sinking, you know, hey, save me, you know, type thing. And, you know, I look at, we talk about childlike faith. And I look at our grandchildren, and as we get older, like we live in a split level or a bi-level, and you know how there's, you've got steps here and then a foyer and then steps to go down. Well, the steps that go down into the basement or whatever level, there's only like four or five, but the steps, you know, here there's about eight or whatever. Well, I did this with my own kids too, so don't report me to Child Protective Services or whatever. They're already grown, they're adults now, so, but I am still, yeah, they lived through it. But now my grandkids though, you might want to report me, I guess, I don't know. But anyway, Hendrix will literally jump from the top step, you know what I'm saying? No fear, you know? And I'm relating this back to Peter, you know, or whatever. But now that he's 4 and a half, I see the hesitation. It's like, public, you have me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I said, you've done this 100 times. You know, there's no, and of course he's getting a little heavier. And I'm like, yeah,
it's getting a little heavier.
I'm getting older. Yeah, he comes out and he's like, oh, you know, I'm trying to like go with it, you know, or whatever. And it's like,
has he seen you drop other children?
Yeah. That's the question. That is the question. But it is.
He's heard the grunts.
But it's funny because when he was younger, I think it was either him or Brandon, I don't remember, but he literally jumped, like I wasn't even looking. Like, you know, and he jumped. Yeah, and I'm just like, I barely, you know, was able to catch him. But it just goes to show you just the courage, you know, because that's high. A little guy goes tall, you know, that it's really high. And just the being able to step out on faith like that. And I was just, you know, we can all sit here and poke fun at Peter, right, and go, well, I'm not poking fun at him stepping out on the water, but I'm saying for letting fear creep in a little bit when he looks down and he starts sinking, you know. But I mean, these were some raging waters. I mean, it really was. And I mean, again, so anyway.
Well, that's why they say to have childlike faith, mm-hmm. because kids don't think about those things.
No.
I know I've had my own, you know, when they were little, do the leap of faith without me, you know, being ready, because they knew that I was always going to catch them.
Right.
And just like I would jump off the hay wagon to my dad, you know.
Oh yeah.
He knew I was going to catch him.
Right.
Even though I was way up in the air, you
right.
know. And but we're supposed to have that childlike faith. And but we're, you know, Peter, I mean, as adults, if we start getting older, then we have all the what ifs.
Yeah.
That are there, you know. And it's Satan putting those things, those thoughts there, you know. I don't want to do that because this might happen, you know. Instead of having that blind faith.
And that's a good example, Cheryl, with your earthly father, right? If we're supposed to have that type of faith with our heavenly father, you know, as well. I mean, it's like he's saying, jump in my arms, I'll catch you.
Yeah.
And we're going, no, we're skeptical, you know, we're fearful. We don't think, no, we're not sure. We don't think that you have us or whatever. And we do have to have that still childlike faith.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter was known for acting first and thinking later. So, I mean,
I was just
in the moment, his focus was purely Jesus.
Yes.
And that was it. And
that was it.
It was only when he started to look around and took his eyes on Jesus that
happened. You're exactly right. I wanted to point that out. Some things that I wrote down about Peter is I wrote down impulsive.
Yeah.
Knee-jerk reaction. Explosive. You know, just different things. Which in some ways there was pros,
yeah,
right, to
absolutely.
It. But in other ways, there's cons too. Like we're getting ready to get into the cutting the ear, you know, or whatever. He's very impulsive, you know, or whatever. And then he's like, "Oh shoot, what did I do?" You know, type thing. Hey Jesus,
this is what you wanted, right?
Right. Is this what you wanted? And, hey Jesus, you want to fix this for me? You know, type thing. So we'll get into. I'm kind of going ahead, but no, exactly right. Good discussion. Good discussion. All right.
And just like children, don't worry about if you're going to feed them. Generally, most children don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You know, they trust you. They trust you that they're gonna have a place to stay, and they're gonna have clothes, and they're gonna have food. But they don't. You know, most of our children don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And one of the things that stands out to me is that it says when he stepped out. Let's see. When he saw the wind. So it wasn't until, like Jason was saying, that he took his focus off of Jesus and was looking at the circumstances. And so many times that's what happens in our lives. We're like, I'm trusting God. And then we begin to look at the bills or the you know, the circumstances, and we start having that doubt creep in, and we just have to keep our focus. We have to just direct that back.
We start to come up with so many things that of why it can't happen, right? Why it's impossible? Why, you know, it's like, well, there's no way, and this or that. But we, I guess, and I say we because, or I could say me, we forget we serve God, right? You know, above, and I mean, He's all knowing, all powerful, all, you know, that anything's possible.
Sometimes people will say, you know, how are you doing? You're like, I'm fine under the circumstances, and. Then I heard it said once, it's like, well, what are you doing under your circumstances?
So. It's kind of funny, though, too, how he let those elements affect him the way that it did, when the fact is that he just got out of a boat. He's a fisherman, so he's been in the water all his life, and he just literally walked across water. Right. Like you would think that would be enough to bolster you, that you would not worry about whatever wind and rain.
Oh, yeah.
You just did something physically that you know is not possible.
Right, it's not possible, yeah. Well, and what's funny too, Jason, they were kind of all scared initially. I think they said, Lord, is that
a ghost?
You? Yeah, is that a ghost? Or, yeah, is that you? Or, yeah, tell us.
Yeah.
So it was, all right. Well, next thing I want to go to is, okay, I'm going to split this up into two. It's Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to be, if someone could read 13 through 19, and then, well, I hate to skip 20. I guess I was just going to say 21 to 23, but someone might as well pick up, I guess, 20 and go to 23.
I can read.
Okay.
16 and 13?
Yeah, 16, verse 13 to 19.
Okay. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the..." Oops, I just clicked on that. Sorry. Some say...
You're fine.
It's a bad thing about a digital Bible, as my wife would say. "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was with, that he was the Christ.
Now, isn't that great? What a compliment to Peter, right? From Christ himself. You know what I'm saying? What a great promise and compliment, you know, or what have you. But now, let's look at the flip side, right? Could someone read, start at 20 or 21 to 23? And this is just like I said, literally right after that compliment and promise to Peter. The same chapter, 16. Excuse me, Matthew 16.
I got it. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples
that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men."
So here Peter, you know, once again, somewhat impulsive, right? He's right away, "Hey, no, that can't happen. That won't happen. You know, we can't allow, you know," and he's saying, you know, "Yeah, I won't allow it," you know, type thing. And of course, Christ is trying to tell him, "This is what I was born for. This is what I'm supposed to do from my Heavenly Father. You know, don't stop me," basically, you know, or what have you. But I think again, once again, I think it was worry or fear or, you know, doubt or any of those sort of, I guess, negative things creeping in, which all comes from Satan, you know, at the end of the day.
I think my brother had pointed out in the sermon one time that as far as temptation goes, that this instance in particular where he calls up, he says, "Get behind me, Satan," that this temptation or that Peter acted out on was from Satan, being in the sense that this was the same kind of temptation that Satan, you know, attempted to have Christ's sin,
right,
was to take the kingdom without having to go through the cross.
Right, right. Kind of the same when Jesus was out in the wilderness for 40 days.
Right, that's one
type it, thing, exactly. Where he was like, "Hey, you know, this right. could be all yours," type right. thing.
Don't worry about the cross.
Don't worry about the cross. Don't worry about dying for everyone's sins. Right. You can have this now.
Right.
You know, you can skip all of this. Right. Skip all
and
the
in
pain.
This instance, he was trying to get him, again, not to go to the cross.
So he viewed that basically just as what
as a,
Satan
right,
had
the
done
fact,
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. Him Satan.
No, that's a good point, Jason. All right, moving right along. I've got several, that's why I'm trying to. If anyone has any comments, please do. Now, I'm going all four Gospels on you here. I've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and this is where Peter cuts off the ear. Now, the one I actually liked the most was John, because they actually mentioned Peter. I think the other three, and you'll notice this, I think a disciple or, you know, or what have you, but we know it's Peter. But would someone mind reading John 18, verses 3 through 11?
I'll do that one.
Okay, that's John's account. Then someone else, if they could get Matthew 26, verses 47 to 56. And then a third person, if they could get Mark chapter 14, verses 43 to 50.
You got the last one.
Okay, and then Luke, someone could get Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 53.
You did say Mark 14, 43?
Yeah, 43 to 50.
You gotta tell me one again. John what?
John 18,
okay.
3 to 11. Do you want to start out with
that? You're ready. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
All right. So once again, reminding Peter, "I have to do this. I have to drink this cup." Who had Matthew 26, verses 47 to 56? And again, John did mention specifically Peter cut off the soldier, and named the soldier actually as well.
Forty-seven to fifty-six.
Chapter 26.
Yeah, I can read that. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." What am I reading to?
56.
Okay. "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled.
He must do this. He must do this. This is something that he has to do. Mark, you had Mark 14. Joy, you had that one. Mark 14, verses 43 to 50.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. With him was a mob with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had given them the signal. "The one I kiss," he said, "he's the one. Arrest him and take him away under guard." So when he came, he went right up to him and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they took hold of him and arrested him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as though I were a criminal to capture me? Every day I was among you, teaching in the temple complex, and you didn't arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled."
All right. Thank you, Joy. Once again, scriptures must be fulfilled. Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 53. That's the last one. There's all four Gospels.
You said 23, 47?
22, 47. Yeah, 22, 47, and then go to 53.
While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of the prophet servant of the high priest cut it off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns."
Thank you. So, I mean, Peter, in a way, showed great courage to impulsively lash out and cut the ear of the soldier off, you know. But I think in some ways it was out of fear, though, if that makes sense, his courage. And the reason I say that is they were getting ready to take Christ. They were getting ready to kill him. They were getting ready to crucify him, you know, type thing. And again, I think Christ had to remind Peter, this is what has to happen. This is what my Heavenly Father sent me here for. Just like in Matthew, when we read, when Peter declared Jesus as Messiah and you know, said, you know, he went on to say, you know, "Hey, how much better a person that has never seen me, you know, but yet has faith and believes in me," but that how he would build the church on, you know, he'd be the rock and this or that. But then, what, a few verses later, he's like saying, "Hey, get behind me," you know, type thing. Because again, Peter, out of fear, you know, he didn't want him to, you know, to die or have to die or be crucified or whatever.
And there again, that was a weakness of Peter's faith, you know, in what was going to happen, and a confusion of the disciples thinking that, you know, when he went in Palm Sunday, thinking that he was going to take over, even though he told them what was going to happen. They were still expecting the takeover of Jerusalem and you know, getting rid of the Romans. So
definitely
still were doubting and
Oh yeah, all the way up to the very end. The very end. You're exactly right.
I mean, to them it looked like everything that they had just dropped their whole life for was coming to an end.
Yeah. Here like, we completely put our life on hold or completely picked up, right? And left our families, left our jobs, left everything. And now, this is all coming to it. It felt like, anyway.
Yeah, it's like we left this for what? I mean, it's, yes, because they didn't see the whole picture. They didn't, you know, they had in their minds, just as most of Israel did, that he was coming to, you know, do this big overthrow and take over. And
as Paul Harvey would say, they didn't have the rest of
the story at
that point, right? Yes.
Even though he tried to tell them.
He tried to tell them, yeah.
Well, in history, had never had someone that had done that before.
Well, yeah.
You know, nobody had ever come along with that much power and influence. And I'm sure they were like, finally, we're with the guy that's in charge.
Right.
And then to kind of see that slipping away was probably...
disheartening.
Just, really confusing for them.
Yeah.
And just not to know the Holy Spirit wasn't... They probably didn't understand that that was going to be part of the equation later.
Right.
That they wouldn't necessarily be losing Jesus altogether.
Right. That the Holy Spirit would be left behind.
Right.
You know, or whatever. That, or the helper, you know, or what have you. Yeah.
Well, they saw all these miracles too. Just to think about the, you know, you don't think about self-control as like a miraculous thing, but because Jesus had the power to do whatever he wanted, essentially, but still had the self-control to just be like, okay, yeah, just take me. You know, that's miraculous.
Yeah, but self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's self-control. And I don't know if Peter always exercised self-control.
He tried to cut a guy's head off and missed. Right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, I wasn't aiming for it. Look at that.
So what you all were saying, it was an accident, right?
Yeah.
Not an accident, he was trying to cut his head off.
But he tried to.
Okay, I got it.
Jesus probably guided the sword to miss.
Right. All right. So if someone, one person read John 13, verses 31 to 38. We're getting into the good stuff, the part that I wanted to get. Not that the other stuff wasn't good. This is the meat and the potatoes. Of what
John
13. 13, verses 31 to 38.
31 to
38? Yeah.
I got it. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times."
Those were courageous words, weren't they? "Jesus, I'll lay down my life for you." And we kind of know the rest of the story or what's getting ready to come up here. And I think fear crept in, right? And I'm not saying, you know, obviously, I look at, what was that little girl in Columbine? And, you know, I look at her as almost like a, that was almost like a Peter moment, you know, right there, where Peter, though, did deny Christ three times. But, you know, what did the gunman say? You know, "Are you a Christian, or do you know Christ, or whatever?" And she said yes, and he killed her. You know, we'll get into what Peter did here. So I have all four Gospels again. If someone would read for me Luke chapter 22, verses 52 to 62. And then Mark 14, 66 to 72.
I got you on the Luke.
Okay.
Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Am I reading the right thing?
It was Luke 22, verses 52 to 62.
Yeah, I thought I already read it. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also is with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord, am I going all the way to the end? And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
All right, someone read Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75.
This is so pretty.
Did you say 57?
Matthew 26, 69 to 75.
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and the servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystander, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystander came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Both times, both accounts, he's wept, literally realizing the three times. All right, we'll read one more of those. We'll read, because I want to get to John. If someone could read Mark chapter 14, and it's verses 66 to 72.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus," she said, "but he denied it." "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them," and again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times," and he broke down and wept.
Thanks, Dave. So once again, if anyone later wants to read John 18, it's verses 15 to 18 and 25 to 27, it's also Peter's denial. But the thing I wanted to close off on is, and this is the hope, right? This is, if someone could read John 21, and it's just three verses, 15 to 17. And then we'll close with that.
Okay.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." How far am I going?
To 17.
Okay. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
So this to me, when I read this, what I think it was kind of upsetting. It grieved me, right? It says that in there. It was upsetting to Peter. But at the same time, sometimes we don't know what's good for ourselves. Peter didn't realize, but that was very, I think, healing for him as well, because he had denied Christ three times. And in this instance, he told Christ that he loved him three times. And if he said, "If you do love him, feed my sheep, feed my lamb," you know, this and that. So I think it was, he didn't realize it, but that was obviously what's meant to be, because it's in God's word. But it was healing, I think, for him, you know, because he had denied him three times, but yet told him that he loved. So in other words, I think Christ was trying to say, "Hey, Peter, it's okay."
It's restoring.
Yeah, it's restoring. It's it's a Peter reinstated, basically, or restoring him type thing. Yeah, exactly. So, well, thank you all.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. I guess we'll close in prayer. Dave, do you mind closing us out in prayer?
Dear Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the nice sunshine outside, Lord. We thank you for allowing each one of us to be here this morning. Pray to be with those who couldn't be for whatever reason. We lift up their prayer request to you again this morning and ask your will be done, and also give you glory, or ask that, thank you for all the praises that were brought to you today. Be with the pastor this morning as he preaches. Just pray that everybody's mind and hearts will be open to your word and the message from it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.